I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Stars are fascinating, aren't they? The sun and moon have their place, but stars, they twinkle and glow. Stars appear and disappear, fall from the sky and we watch them. Or stars hang out there in the night like trusted friends. I think of the many times I look up to locate the Big Dipper and the North Star. They are a wonder. There is an inescapable mythos around stars, one that has drawn us into a relationship with them from the dawn of creation. Poems and myths and prayers have been written and sung. To this day, we teach them to our children, some of them anyway, encouraging them to learn from the stars and even to seek their guidance and help. Do you recall Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? The first verse is easy to remember. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. The second and third verses are less remembered, at least by me, maybe you know them. They go like this. When the blazing sun is gone, when he nothing shines upon, then you show your little light, twinkle, twinkle, all the night. Then the traveler in the dark thanks you for your tiny spark. How could he see where to go if you did not twinkle so? Perhaps this 1947 poem was inspiration for the song in the children's movie Pinocchio, which goes like this. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do. Are you all wishful right now? These poetic songs are stirring as they suggest that stars in the night sky shine light on our hopes and dreams. Somehow it is as if the stars speak to us and we want to speak back to them our deepest desires. They signify to us some kind of benevolent divinity, also wishing the best for us in this life. Sound crazy? Have you ever made a wish upon a star? If not this, then perhaps you have read your horoscope as a way to let the stars guide you on any given day. The way the stars were aligned on the exact day and time of your birth provides messages that horoscope enthusiasts write and read. For those who want to know that someone somewhere knows their deepest longings and desires and will shine light on their particular and unique journey in life. I'm not necessarily advocating we all read our horoscopes, but just to say that we do have some relationship to the stars. We seek relationship with them. Well, I don't know about you, but I wasn't so sure that what I desired as a child was something I should be wishing for when I looked up and said, twinkle, twinkle, little star. I had the sense that I shouldn't be asking for vain things like becoming a beautiful ballerina one day. But this is what is possible, wishing upon a star to become a star one day. The brilliant and singular beauty of a star often conjures up the fantasy of stardom. Once this occurs, this stargazer starts looking for the road to fame and does all they can to travel this road, no matter what harm they do to others as they do so. And we all know that that stardom is a place full of burned out stars. Well, Jerusalem had just such a one, a burned-out star named Herod. Sure, he was king, a gorgeous royal palace and brilliant bejeweled robes to prove it, but his brilliance was fading. He never was the star of the show for the Jewish people, not the one they all needed, and not as the puppet king for the Roman Empire. There were people in the land, as the story tells us, and in foreign lands, looking for, wishing for and willing to follow the right star, the promised messianic king. Pagans and Jews alike have long been associating the birth of a new ruler with astral phenomenon. Many in the Jewish tradition related the hope for the Messiah to the star of Jacob, and it's written in Numbers 24:17. It says this, A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. In the final disastrous war against the Romans in 132 to 135 CE, Simeon ben Kosaba led the rebellion, and he failed. Now, his nicknames were Bar Kokhba, which means son of the star or star man. Well, Herod is not called this. He is not a star. He is just another place keeper until the star is born. Herod cannot claim to be the fulfillment of Numbers 24:17 for many reasons. The first being that he didn't come by the scepter in his hands in all the Jewish ways required. There are none of the necessary defining markers for being a king of the Jews. There is no prophet like Samuel who anointed him. There is no royal lineage in Herod's blood connecting him to King David. There is no commitment in him to the study of scriptures or the stars to seek divine guidance, to be a true and good shepherd of the people. There was no star in the sky the night he was born. And finally, his scepter rose up out of the Roman Empire's authority and power, and not God's. There is still one to come to fulfill the prophecy of a star to be born, one who would rule God's people with the kingdom not of this world. Herod was a falling star. The wise men from the east have been studying the stars, staying alert to the hope of the nations for a ruler to rise up and fill all hearts with joy. They have seen the star rise in the sky and have let it guide them to Jerusalem, the one city you would expect a king to be born. The wise men knock on Herod's door, fully anticipating that he saw this star as well and would know without a doubt where the newborn king was born. Their inquiry makes Herod shake in his boots. Where? How do I know? Why doesn't he know what God, the divine sovereign, is about to do, is doing? What has he been doing all this time he has had the scepter in his hands? Clearly, he has been enjoying his stardom and not shepherding the people. The Magi's firm belief that a newborn king has been born and that he can actually be found somewhere nearby has quite reasonably made Herod afraid. His position has been tenuous, and now he has been shown to be a fool. All of this has made the Jews in Jerusalem shake in their boots as well. Herod is not the star, and he knows it. Things are about to go sideways for everyone. The foreshadowing in Matthew's gospel is obvious. Herod is going to act terribly in the near future and give good reason for the Jewish families in Jerusalem to be afraid. That will come when he kills all the baby boys under 2 years old. At the end of Matthew's story, we will see Herod and the stars of his kingdom, those same intellectuals who told him where the newborn king would be born. They will ensure that the king of the Jews is crucified. Herod will see to it that the star man promised in Numbers 24 is snuffed out. The glitz and glamour of stardom blinds people to the true stars among them, so much so that when they show up on the scene, they are not welcomed for who they are and what they will do to bring joy to people through their character and talents and commitment. To be true, Jesus is not like any one of the stars who rise up and seek fame in the big city. We'll get to that in a minute. But the trope of the rise to stardom is familiar. Someone, a woman, leaves her hometown and travels to Hollywood or New York City to become a star. She quickly outshines the men who are interested in her, and they fall apart to the bottle or to drugs. We see this in a movie that has been made three times over since the late 1930s called A Star is Born. The latest one is with Lady Gaga. I don't know if you've seen that. Just worth mentioning. I like that. A Star is Born. Well, people with big egos, worried about their claim to fame, often ask the upstarts among them, "Where did you come from? Were you born in America? Were you born in Canada?" They ask in order to prove that they have a truer claim to the position of power they hold or wish to hold. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, a place where stars were not supposed to rise, a place where kings and rulers were not meant to be born, but the place everyone was told to expect the Messiah to be born. And so he was. The Messiah came, the star showed the way to find him to the Magi. The scriptures confirm the where. A dream redirects the Magi and they go back to Persia or Babylon, having been the only ones to be unafraid to recognize and pay homage to the King of the Jews, born of God to bring joy to all people. All the inquiries on the where and when signify to us that the Messiah has come as promised. We are not wrong to believe this, and to look for this to be verified in the rest of the story that Matthew will tell us, and in the rest of the story of our lives. God is behind the scenes and in the scene, putting a star in the sky to signify to the Magi that a king has been born, and to further guide them about who not to trust. These wise men had no inhibitions about trusting their study of the stars, their intuition, their dreams, and even each other when it didn't align with what Herod and his kingdom officials said. Matthew wants us to be as grateful as he and all the followers of Jesus to come would be that the Magi traveled so far and so faithfully to show us the Messiah laying in Mary's lap. They had been students of the stars and crossed cultural and religious barriers to recognize divine activity in this star and assure us that we are following the Messianic King for all peoples. The Magi fall down on their knees to pay homage to a rising star, a newborn king. Did they know just how much his kingdom was not of this world, and would undermine and challenge all the kings and kingdoms of the earth then and now? Perhaps down on their knees, heads bent, a divine star shining overhead awakened them to the divine presence on earth, moving and shifting the cosmos to realign it with God's ways. The newborn king of the Jews was going to make the first last and the last first. This baby laying in Mary's lap was born to show people wherever they were born, however remote, forgotten, or unexpected, and into whatever circumstances they come from or live in now, that God has come to make their wishes come true. God has come to establish a kingdom where the lowly and meek become the stars in God's kingdom. The story in Matthew also illustrates how this will happen. He comes to outshine the wicked, the self-serving, the ones with fame and power who have no character and talent worthy of God's people. God is looking after that lineup of stars and stardom. We don't need to fret about the rulers of our day. They all end up burning out. Instead, we need to be as little children and make our prayers to God, to the God of heaven and earth, firmly believing that Jesus has come to answer our prayers, to rule us, and then we are meant to receive his presence and offer to him our gratitude and our joy. God is come in Christ, the newborn king. May all the rulers of the earth tremble with fear and know that the light will continue to shine in the darkness, and the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our God and King. Amen.